This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah al-Alim al-Khabir. Al-Mutqin nizam al-Alam bila mu'in wa nasir. Fasubhanallah al-Ladhi hikmatuhu balighatun wa ilmuhu ghazir. Wa ni'amuhu wasilatun ila kulli saghirin wa kabir. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahda. La sharika lahu fi naqirin wa la qitmir. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا بكتاب منير ودعانا إلى الله بالإنذار والتبشير صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ما دامت الكواكب تسير أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين يؤذون المؤمنين والمؤمنات بغير ما اكتسبوا فقد احتملوا بهتانا وإثما مبينا صدق الله العظيم. Friends and elders, it is part of the beauty of Islam that there is perfect balance and synchronization in the commandments of Allah and in the human makeup and the human anatomy. There is no disparity, no inconsistency, no discrepancy, no dichotomy between how Allah has created you and how Allah has legislated your deen. The very natural, Islam has been referred to the natural. Take Islam out of the equation and this human is restless. This human doesn't know how to operate his life. The design, the makeup, the format, the structure of our body and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every regard is in perfect fine balance. If on the other hand, a person is having difficulty frowning or failing to understand or comprehend or process the wisdom, then this is due to external factors, influence and media that has obscured your lenses. It is part of the beauty of Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened up many avenues to reach Him. So humans, we have different strengths, we have different abilities, and Allah has given us different options to reach Him. Understand this beautifully. Some people can recite Quran for extended hours. Some people can be amazing in feeding people. Some have great social skills. And every one of this is a catalyst to attract the mercy of Allah. So my analogy that I often give in my talks, and I say it as a preamble to my address today, people board a common flight. You're sitting in a business class. Hypothetically, there are 47 seats in there, or 74 in your A380. All are enjoying the same perks. You have a reclining seat, you have meal on call, you have excess luggage, you have priority check-in. All are boarded into the same cabin with the same perks. But every business class passenger has paid a different price for that same seat. So what price did you pay, my brother? No, you know what? My brother works for the airline. Not my brother, I'm giving an example. And so, yeah, we just had to pay the taxes. And I've got this complimentary ticket. How about you? Well, I had excess miles and I put in a redemption ticket and then I had to just pay some negligible costs and I got upgraded. What about you? Oh, I booked early 2 years ago, so I got a very good price. What about you? Oh, it was the last minute. There was no economy tickets available. This was the only class that was on the upper end. It cost me an arm and a leg. Trust me, my brother, that entire cabin is brimming to capacity, enjoying the same amount of perks, but every person pays a different price. Jannah will be brimming to its maximum. May Allah make us from amongst them. Every Jannati will enter into paradise through the mercy of Allah. But every dweller of Jannah will have a different story which will attract Allah's mercy to get him in there. Hey brother, you here in paradise, what did you do? Nothing. You know what? I was walking on the road, I seen a branch that was protruding, it was disturbing the flow of traffic. I alighted my vehicle, I moved it one side. فَشَكَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ Allah accepted this action and he forgave me. Hey, but this woman was immoral and unchaste. Yeah, but one day, you know what? She just stooped down and she gave some water to a dog. In English, they say, a man is never so tall like when he stoops down to help a child. A man is never so tall, figuratively, metaphorically, like when you bend down to help someone. So you don't know which action might attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's the catalyst into Jannah. On that note, the hadith of Bukhari, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he asks the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my message is, there's a possibility, there's a chance for everyone to get into Jannah. And that's the beauty. That's the beauty. Years back, I gave a talk at a janazah, which I do often, and I spoke about the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, though the narration is weak, but it is in terms of virtue. A narration in its academics might be weak, but the mercy of Allah is strong. The mercy of Allah is strong. There's no doubt about that. That's irrefutable. Maybe the chain of narrator, academics as the scholars, and that's an important science. We need to grade it and have perspective so that we distinguish between the different strengths in the hadith because of the chain of narrators. But we don't want to digress into that. Where the Prophet ﷺ said in a weak narration that if a person passes on and 100 people come and offer his funeral prayer and they seek forgiveness to Allah on his behalf, Allah will pardon him. So there's a brother that comes up to me and he's like got this long hair, he's got tattoos, he's all studded and he's tearing. And he's like, Imam, did I hear you say the Prophet ﷺ said, if 100 people will pray at my funeral, Allah will forgive me? I'm like, yeah, my brother, Allah will. He says, if I speak to my friends and I ask them that show up at my funeral and they show up and I invite them and they pray, will Allah forgive? I said, yes. He's found one hadith. It's given him hope. It's given him solace. Give him the comfort. Who knows? That might be the reason of his pardon. We don't have a monopoly over paradise. Allah is in control. One person said to another in the authentic hadith, Allah will never forgive you. So Allah said, من ذا الذي يتألى علي أني لا أغفر لفلان? And who's deciding that I will not forgive him? فقد غفرت له. I have forgiven him and I've destroyed your good actions. It has invalidated it. So start from fresh. Of course, the qualifying statement is the fundamental aqaid need to be in place. That's irrefutable, and we cannot be mincing our words. Your belief on Tawheed, your belief on the Anbiya, your belief on finality of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those core principles and aqeedah are absolute, right? That cannot be adjusted, tempered with, or in any way. But in addition to that, a person, the ulama say, if a person is negligent in the performance of actions, then there's hope Allah will forgive him. But if he is deficient in his belief, then this will shake the very foundation. This will shake the very foundation. So anyway, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu asks the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ayyul a'mali afdal. O Prophet of Allah, which action of mine is most beloved to Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Imanun billah, you bring iman on Allah and you strive in his path. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu poses the second question, Ayyul riqabi afdal? O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the liberation of which slave is most beloved to Allah? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Anfasuha inda ahliha wa aktharuha thamanan. The slave at the time when it was found, and of course Islam came to end slavery and not support it. It's a topic of its own. We could discuss at some other point. But yes, slavery was prevalent at that time. The one who is most valuable and most expensive and exclusive, if you can liberate him, then this is an act of great reward, virtue, and merit. Imam Nawawi, the great Shafi'i scholar, writes under the hadith, هَذَا إِذَا أَرَادَ أَحَدْ أَن يَعْتِقَ رَقَبَهُ. This context of the most noble, exclusive, would be an act of best virtue if a person is liberating one slave. وَأَمَّا إِذَا أَرَادَ أَنْ يَشْتَرِي رَقَبَةً فَوَجَدَ رَقَبَةً نَفِيسَةً أَوْ رَقَبَتَيْنِ مَفْضُولَتَيْنِ فَالرَّقَبَتَانِ أَفْضَلُ بخلاف الأضحية، لأن المطلوب هنا طيب اللحم، والمطلوب هنا فك الرقبة. لا إله إلا الله. Imam Nawawi says that if a person has 1,000 dirhams and he could either purchase an expensive slave and free one, or purchase something of substandard, of mediocre standard, and liberate through two people, that would be better for him. Contrasting that with an animal at the time of Eid al-Adha, because at that time it would be more wholesome to purchase one big animal, because the object is to give good meat and feed good meat to people. While in this hadith, the aim is to free and liberate people, empower people. The point we could take from this here, the ulama say that a type of slavery and bondage is also someone who is in debt. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. Allah says, and they feed the pious, the abrar. Yut'imun, they feed ta'am, the food. Ala hubbihi, hubbihi, the pronoun could either go to Allah or the love of food. Out of the love of Allah, they feed people, or despite loving food themselves, they feed others. Wa yut'imun at-ta'am ala hubbihi, miskin and the poor, yatim and the orphan, wa asira and the captive. In Tafsir Uthmani, it is written that captivity, one is in its original form, but otherwise a person who has overwhelming debts, he is also a captive. He is also a captive. And by helping him and freeing his debts, you are liberating him. You are giving him meaning to life. Of course, we've been told, don't take debts. Luqman Hakim said, Ya Bunayya, Iyaka wad-dayn, fa'innahu hammun bil-layl wa dhullun bil-nahar. Oh my son, don't incur a debt. Don't incur a debt. It is restlessness by night and humiliation by day. But yes, wherever you can help someone, a body was brought. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Hal taraka min daynin? Has he left behind any debts? And they said, yes. Hal taraka min wafa'in? Has he left behind money to offset the debts? And they said, no. And subhanallah, this was the makeup of the Sahaba. This was the fabric of that society. It was never selfish and self-centered. It was selfless and it was generous. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, lead his prayer. And whoever his creditors are, they can claim it from me. That was the makeup of the society. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fakka Allahu rihanaka min an-nar kama fakakta rihana akhika al-muslim." Oh Ali, as you have saved his neck, may Allah rescue your neck. وَآتُوهُمْ مِنْ مَالِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي آتَاكُمْ وَآتُوهُمْ مِنْ مَالِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي آتَاكُمْ. Look in the entire Quran at every point and juncture where Allah exhorts us to spend. Allah says, "Spend from what I gave you." Spend what belongs to me. Spend from what I gave you temporary ownership. The message is quite clear. Temporarily, momentarily, for a limited time, you have access to it. And in this time, if you use it objectively, then of course you will earn yourself Jannah. Abdullah bin Umar, today, to an extent, the Ummah responds to the call of donation. But we have not upped our game to tap into the spiritual pleasure of parting and donating something which is dear and beloved to us. So many people will spend, but either surplus, either excess, either not so important. But how many of us have the clout and the muscle to spend something which is valuable, either because it's antique or it has sentimental value, or it's precious for a different reason? How many of us can part with that? Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu became unwell and he was feeling to eat fish. Sometimes you just have this odd crave at the odd night. You know, you just get up at 12 and you want to eat something and you're feeling for it at that time. And then they looked for him, and finally they found him a fish. And so his wife prepared it. And when she prepared it, they presented it before him. And just as he was about to indulge, a beggar came and he started begging. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu took that fish while he was unwell, and it was the only fish they found, prepared with so much love and care by his spouse and his better half, and he gave it to the pauper and the beggar. Those around said, "Idfa' lahu dirhaman huwa anfa' lahu waqdi anta shahwataka." Listen, this is the beggar. You can appease him. You can give him one dirham and he'll be happy. And you fulfill your desire, your passion to eat fish. He said, "Shahwati ma urid." My desire is to do that what I did, because in that lies the pleasure of Allah. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu was mounted on his conveyance, and then he identified someone. And he said, "Aren't you so and so?" He said, "Yes, indeed, I am so and so." So he dismounted from his conveyance, then gave him his turban, and then gave him his mode of transport, gave him his camel. So those around said, "Innahumul a'rab yardawna bil yaseer." This man is a villager. You can appease him with something simple. There's no need to give him something so lavish. He said, "Inna abahu kana wuddan li Umar." His late father was an ally and a friend of my father Umar. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the best thing you can do for your parents after their demise is be connected and associated with their relatives and their acquaintances. La ilaha illallah. To part with that which is so dear to you. Okay, we move on to focus and to recap. Islam has given every one of us an opportunity to earn Jannah. This is the beauty. He said, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنْ لَمْ أَفْعَلْ أَيْ إِنْ ضَعَفْتُ عَنْ بَعْضِ الْعَمَلِ لِلْعَجْزِ لَا لِلْكَسْلِ. If I'm unable to do the above, I cannot liberate a slave, I cannot strive in the path of Allah, doesn't happen, and I'm unable to accomplish that. What can I do? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Tu'inu sani'an aw tasna'u li akhraq." Okay, then whenever you get a chance, help someone doing something, or assist a person who is not skilled and competent. Someone who's not literate, you're at an airport and he doesn't know how to furnish a document, help him. As a child, help someone who doesn't know how to open a phone, how to print an article, or how to go online. Look at the beauty of Islam. Look at the options of reaching Allah. Tu'inu sani'an, the hadith of Bukhari, Abu Dharr narrates it. Tu'inu asas sani'an, somebody who's building, constructing. A man is on the side of the road, probably he had a puncture, his car is jacked up and he's trying to change his tire or his wheel. Sometimes you see a sister traveling at the airport and you can see she has a stroller, she has a child, she has a bag. The child is running. Yesterday when I landed in London, and you could see this poor sister is going through so much. Hold the child one side, take the bag, display some assistance. Tu'inu sani'an. Help someone in what they're doing. أو تصنع لأخرق. أخرق الذي لا يتقن ما يحاول فعله. Help someone who doesn't have the art. I often quote this hadith to sisters. Your son got married. There's a new daughter-in-law. She probably might not know exactly, precisely how to cook. Don't hoard a recipe. Don't have a monopoly over a recipe. No. You need, I will send to you. Because nobody else must have the formula. Share it. Share. Spread. You're not going to get any less. It will only empower. There'll be more people doing it. Otherwise, people are going to take it in the grave and what? In fact, Ibn al-Munir rahimahullah makes an amazing deduction. وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ إِشَارَةٌ إِلَىٰ أَنَّ إِعَانَةَ الصَّانِعِ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ إِعَانَةِ غَيْرِ الصَّانِعِ لِأَنَّ غَيْرَ الصَّانِعِ مَظَنَّةُ الْإِعَانَةِ فَكُلُّ أَحَدٍ يُعِينُهُ غَالِبًا بَخْلَافِ الصَّانِعِ فَإِنَّهُ يُغْفَلُ عَنْهُ لِشُهْرَتِهِ بِصُنْعِهِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So when the Prophet ﷺ gave the next option and proposal of earning paradise, he said, hang on, help a person who knows how to do it, or help someone who doesn't know how to do it. So the adoption of the expression of the sequence of the prophetic words, where the Prophet ﷺ prioritized with the first person, the one who's skilled and competent, help him. And then he said, help the one who's not skilled and non-competent, actually releases a subtle hint that it is more rewarding at times to help a person who's skilled than to help someone who's not skilled. Why? Let me give you context. If you help an old person, people say, oh, mashallah, look at this young boy. Oh, boy, what's your name? Your parents taught you good manners, man. Wow, look at that. That's so outstanding. That's so impressive. Mashallah, that's selflessness. It will get you recognition. Probably somebody will post it on social media. You'll get so many likes and thumbs and, you know, acknowledgements. But if you help a young man, nobody's going to give you a compliment. Hey, leave him, man. Let him move his own legs. Why are you helping him? لِأَنَّ إِعَانَةَ غَيْرِ الصَّانِعِ مَظَنَّةُ الْإِعَانَةِ فَكُلُّ أَحَدٍ يُعِينُهُ بَخِلَافِ الصَّانِعِ. See what the scholars say. Helping an able person, though you might do it in public, but it will secure for you the reward of giving charity in privacy, because nobody will give you prominence because of that. فَهِيَ مِنْ جِنْسِ الصَّدَقَ عَلَى الْمَسْتُورِ. Like when you help someone quietly, nobody's seen. If you're helping a person walking, a young, healthy man, he's got a bag on his back and he's holding something, and you take it, nobody's going to give a second look. But yes, an elderly man, barely walking, got a staff, and you know, his vision is impaired, his hearing is compromised. The latter will secure you prominence, not the former. But the hadith says, do either or, and Allah will grant you Jannah. The hadith goes on. O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِن لَمْ أَفْعَلْ. And if I cannot do this, and I'm unable to do this, then what? Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَكُفُّ شَرَّكَ عَنِ النَّاسِ فَإِنَّهَا صَدَقَةٌ مِنْكَ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ. Then don't harm anyone in any way. This is also an act of constant charity on your part, and Allah will forgive you, not because you helped people, but because you didn't hurt people. If you cannot smile, don't frown. If you cannot compliment, don't condemn. If you cannot empower, don't destroy. تَكُفُّ شَرَّكَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Restrain your evil. Did you know, my brother, our Quran legislates and governs how we must behave with someone occupying a seat next to us for one moment? Show me any divine scripture and show me any legislation that has rules in place to limit, govern, and legislate how you behave with a person sitting next to you. In the Quran, Allah legislates how you must behave with the person sitting next to you in this congregation of Jum'ah. Or you standing in a common queue at an airport or a post office, or you occupying a seat next to someone in the plane. There's a verse in the Quran that speaks about how you behave. Can there be a more comprehensive religion than Islam? What's the verse of the Quran? وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ وَاعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُوبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ. And be kind. how often a short flight becomes miserable just because you're sitting next to the wrong person, and a long flight becomes short just because you're sitting next to a good man. I often say something, but in humor, I say life is short, but an economy flight is long. Life is short, but an economy flight is long, because you're sitting there, the clock just doesn't tick. But how do you behave at a function? Wasahibi bil jambi. Islam governs and legislates. Conduct yourself. Don't be uncouth. That's not the way you clean your mucus next to people. That's not the way you sit. That's not the way you stretch your hands. Your behavior, your conduct, your demeanor. A person came and he burped. Nabi Sassam said, Ukfuf anna jusha'ak. Ukfuf anna. Please keep your burp away from us. Those burping loud in this world will be hungry on the day of Qiyamah. This is general etiquettes and mannerism. If you cannot do the good, O Nabi of Allah, how can I earn Jannah? Takuffu sharraka anin nas. Fa innaha sadaqatun minka ala nafsik. This hadith, the ulama write, the latter part, يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ فِعْلَ الْإِنسَانِ وَكَسْبِهِ دَاخِلٌ فِي أَعْمَالِهِ. That a person's actions and his silence is recorded in his actions. غَيْرَ أَنَّ الثَّوَابِ لَا يَحْصُلُ مَعَ الْكَفِّ إِلَّا مَعَ النِّيَّةِ وَالْقَصْدِ لَا مَعَ الْغَفْلَةِ وَالذُّهُولِ. However, it doesn't mean that you just sit in silent in any posture, you're in perpetual reward. It would only become an act of reward if you will consciously apply it. So you've completed your salah now, after the Jummah salah, you need to offer your sunnah prayer. You say, no, I'm not going to stand here because some people might need to exit early. So let me find a pillar or let me put a chair there so that it makes easy access. The hadith says, your sensitive consideration of those that need to pass will allow you continuous reward because you were considerate of other humans while engaging in prayer. Tour the world, and Allah has allowed me to travel the continents. There's barely a religious program of ours that is not interrupted by announcements that somebody is obstructing the traffic or has parked incorrectly. So you've defeated the reward of entering the gathering because you have offended someone. And at times it's an emergency vehicle. غَيْرَ أَنَّ الثَّوَابِ لَا يَحْصُلُ مَعَ الْكَفِّ إِلَّا مَعَ النِّيَّةِ وَالْقَصْدِ لَا مَعَ الْغَفْلَةِ وَالذُّهُولِ. I want to share one incident quickly and I will wrap up. Time is against me. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he got married to Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu anha, and Allah references this in the Quran. This is the richness of our deen. وَأَكْوَابٌ مَوْضُوعَةٌ in Surah Ghashiyah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the bounties of Jannah in verse 14. So Allah says, فِيهَا سُرُرٌ فِيهَا عَيْنٌ جَارِيَةٌ. There is a flowing spring, right? سُرُرٌ مَرْفُوعَةٌ. They are elevated couches. Akwab is the plural of kub. Mawdu'a means place. Goblets well placed. Mufti Shafi'a rahimahullah in Ma'riful Quran writes under this ayah that the fact that Allah describes Jannah, there's a spring and there's glasses, opens up the discussion of social etiquettes that put things in its place. You want to leave for a function, but you cannot find the remote or the key is not found there. We have what they call organized chaos, oxymoronic. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَتَاتِ الْأَمْرِ. One of the prophetic prayers was, oh Allah, save me from being disorganized in my matters. A believer is structured, he's meaningful, he's productive, his area is clean, his office is clean, those around him are pleasant. Just that alone is a catalyst to the beauty. We are a very disciplined, clean, refined, upright nation. Or this is what we ought to be. Don't cause people harm. It's such a good... When the Prophet ﷺ got up, Aisha radiallahu anha says, he would hop into the bed. I marvel, I cry, I tear, it gives me shivers. He would hop into the bed wait till I have fallen off to sleep. So he doesn't deny me that proximity. And then when he would assume I have fallen off, in ta'ala ruwaydan, kharaja ruwaydan, ruwaydan, ajafa ruwaydan, then stealthily he would sneak. You know, if you see a predator preying on its game, and you see how it would crouch down, and how stealthily the cat would inch forward, targeting its prey, so discreet. Of course, here it wants to pounce on its target. I'm just using the analogy, unrelated to that here. Aisha radiallahu anha says, he wouldn't deny me coming close. How often today I'm with my friends, I'm going out, and I leave my wife to sleep alone. She sleeps alone, gets up alone. There's no connection. The rapport is broken. The Prophet of Allah wants to spend the night in tahajjud. Yet he comes home, hops into the bed, spends that time with me, and then he wants to engage in tahajjud. Aisha radiallahu anha uses every word of softness, gentleness, politeness, discreet and sensitivity. Softly he exits. Gently he opens the door. Politely he puts his clothes on, and discreetly he sneaks out so that he does not disturb my sleep. So here's the incident. The Prophet ﷺ got married to Zainab radiallahu anha, and then the house was small. There was nothing lavish. The people came in, ate, and they left. However, there were a few companions that just sat in the little corridor and they were having a discussion. Like some things. And they were having a discussion. Radiallahu anhum, the noble companions, may Allah be pleased with them. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants to meet with his spouse because walima is done and they are sitting there. But he by nature was too modest to tell somebody, can you go? You know, it's like, how do you tell some? Some people come visit you so long, you get more sick when they leave. Like, don't you understand? This is a sick man. I know you want to show your character and your commiseration and your values and your ethics, but give the family some time and space to deal with the tragedy. Give them some space and time. Is there no sensitivity to the moment? Or is it just crowding and overwhelming? And then Allah revealed the verse that when you come to the house of the Prophet ﷺ, don't come before. I'll mention this in end. فَإِذَا طَعِمْتُمْ فَانْتَشِرُوا. Once you've eaten, then leave. وَلَا مُسْتَأْنِسِينَ لِحَدِيثٍ. Don't chit-chat and have these discussions. إِنَّ ذَلِكُمْ كَانَ يُؤْذِي النَّبِيَّ فَيَسْتَحِي مِنْكُمْ. Because your prolonged discussions annoys the Prophet and causes him discomfort. And hence the scholars say the illah is annoyance to the host. So if the host tells you, please come, sit, enjoy, relax, spend the afternoon, that's a separate thing because that's what he's telling you. But otherwise the norm is eat and move so the family can clean up and whatever needs to be done. فَيَسْتَحْيِي مِنْكُمْ. He feels shy. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ. And Allah pronounces it as it is. So the narration also goes on. Zainab radiallahu anha was clinging to the wall. The room was too small. These three companions were sitting. The Prophet of Allah is walking up and down to indicate to them, can you leave? They're not picking up the hint and the message. Revelation came and addressed the issue. In Bayanul Quran it is written, we learn from this two things. دل على أمرين أن الاستحياء من الصدع بالحق في أمثال هذه من مقتضيات الطبع الكريم. I'm going to end here. That at times a person with great level of modesty, when his own rights are infringed upon, he would remain silent, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His own rights were being encroached upon, but due to his modesty, he didn't say anything. But of course, Allah then pronounced it clearly. So we learn, As-sad'u bil-haqqi fi amthali hadhihi min muqtadiyyati al-aqli al-hakim fayurajjihu al-muslihu muqtada al-aqli ala muqtada al-tab'i. That's academic. That at the time when someone has done wrong, wahi came and intervened and addressed the issue, that don't annoy people. Don't go on in. How many people you stop telling them you're traveling because every time you travel, they bring a bag at the airport. Every time they bring in a bag, they don't limit it. They just come and leave it there. Like, do you process yourself? Do you understand the difficulties you're imposing? You earn in Jannah, the man is traveling, you can't give him a gift. Just don't burden him. I'm saying that's the beauty of our deen. And the second thing we learn, Islahul Mu'ashara. We need to reform our society. حُرْمَةُ مَا يُتَأَذَّى بِهِ غَيْرُهُ. Don't cause pain to people. كَمَنْ يُدْعَى فِي وَقْتٍ مُعَيَّنٍ فِي جَمَاعَةٍ فَيَتَأَخَّرْ مِنْ غَيْرِ أُذْرٍ وَقَدْ كَثُرَ الْإِذَاءُ فِي هَذَا الزَّمَانِ. That if someone is invited you at a time, come at the right time. Don't come before, don't come after. My message is, my brother, Jannat, Allah has opened it up for all. Allah has given each one of us a different strength. Some people can smile your way through Jannah. Some can spend your way through Jannah. Some can feed your way to Jannah. If you cannot do anything, don't hurt people. I'll leave you with this comment. I've said it often because I deal with a lot of people in this regard here. Don't ask people personal questions. You're hurting them where it pains the most. You're still not married. What an audacity! Your daughters are married because you had a choice in the matter? Which man doesn't want his daughter to be married? But how can you talk so loud? No kids. Do you decide your gender and your kids? Your son is still taking drugs. How do you talk to people? How do you hurt people? I know of a community that actually formed a club of childless couples because of the comments of society. And they asked me to address this talk. My message is help people, empower people, say kind words to people, don't ask personal questions, and inshallah, this will earn your way to Jannah. Some people bring happiness wherever they go, and others bring happiness whenever they go. May Allah make us from the former and not the latter. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.